Right now at PMP Network is Edna Wright. You, of course, remember her from Honeycomb. And we had on a little while ago from the chairman of the board, General Johnson, who wrote many of the Honeycomb tunes. And in fact, his partner in the Honeycomb, in writing a couple of the songs, Greg Perry, you actually were married to him. I don't know if you still are or not, but how are you?
Hey. Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. Are you still married to Greg?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so, I mean, he was a writing partner of General Johnson, right?
Yeah, he was the producer.
Yeah, but they also wrote one of the songs together as well.
They wrote mostly all of their things together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be willing to say they wrote 90% of the songs together.
Yeah, they were a good writing team.
They were.
Yeah, people always talk about Holland, Dozier, Holland, but those guys had some great hits.
Yes, they did. They had a lot of great hits.
Yeah, and a few of them were from the Honeycomb.
Yeah, at least 90% of our songs were done by them, I would say.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about how the Honeycomb formed. I know that you guys were discovered by Holland, Dozier, Holland. How did you end up part of that group?
Actually, I was called upon to be a lead singer, just a soloist, and because I'd been on the road a lot by myself with Billy Preston and Bill Medley of the Righteous Brothers, I got a lot kind of lonesome. So I hired two other girls who were friends of mine in L.A. And from that point, Edward and I were talking, and I asked him one night when Dionne Warwick called me and she needed some girls to do some things on TV with her on the Andy Williams show, I believe that was. And she said, "You got any girls?" I said, "Yeah." And so I got two of my girlfriends, Carolyn Willis and Shelly Clark, and we did the show. I called Holland, Edward, as a matter of fact, and I told him to take a look at it and see what he thought. And he looked at the girls, and he thought it was a great look. And then the idea naturally came up, you know, like, oh, a group, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had already spoken probably to Frida, and he would have had two, you know, singers, so why not have a group, and, you know, that too. So it made a real good thing, you know.
Now, wasn't your sister also related to the story? Your sister, of course, Darling Love. Wasn't she going to be part of this, but she had something, another commitment at the time or something?
Not at all.
No?
No.
So I'm looking at this website stuff here. That's what it says here.
I wish I could go on everybody's website and correct the birth dates. They've got, I think, Carolyn born in 46 and Shelley born in 48 or 42 or something. I'm like, damn, do they have it mixed up? It's really funny. No, Darlene had her own thing going years before me. Darlene is my oldest sister, so Darlene was singing Godly when I was just a kid.
And she was with, of course, Phil Spector and the Bobby Sox.
And as a solo as Darlene Love. But she was very important in my role in starting, but she was way before me, and the two of us never thought about being together, only as sisters. And I've often exchanged and helped her with her groups when she had somebody missing, and she has in turn sang with the Honeycomb, but never was she a thought, you know, in that process at all. No. Uh-uh.
What was it like that first day on the Andy Williams show? Did it seem like a natural fit, everything?
Well, you know, we had been singing, ironically, in L.A. I had been doing club dates, and we had a band and everything. So we had been working in L.A. already, so it wasn't a big thing. And the girls knew. They all kind of had their own. We all kind of had our own careers anyway, you know. And they already knew that I sang solo and did leads and things forever. So it was never. It wasn't even thought of as a group. They had. As a matter of fact, Carolyn and Shelley used to sing with another girl, so they had other side things. It's sort of like, you know, you got your side things, and this is what you do, too, and you have fun doing it.
But, yeah. Now, you actually even had a hit, I mean, on VJ under the name Sandy Winds at one point, right?
That's incredible. As a matter of fact, yeah. When I was 15 years old, I recorded this record called A Touch of Venus, and being a church girl, I used a pseudonym that was given to me by Hal Davis, and it was Sandy Winds. As a matter of fact, that the United Kingdom had just called me a while ago. They were here with a big show, and I didn't do the show, but I appeared as one of their guest speakers on the show. And my record is a collector's item. That particular record,
A Touch of Venus, I would assume it would be, yeah.
And it's
probably worth a lot of money. Do you have a bunch of them at home?
I got a few. I got a few. Yeah, and it's worth. It's the starting price is unreal. So you know, it makes as much money as the Honeycomb stuff in Europe.
Well, see, Edna, you should be putting that on eBay and making some money.
I do.
Autographed. It's worth even more, right?
Oh yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So when they came here, as a matter of fact, on the 13th of March, and they. Chartered a plane. It was over 500 of them. People, just fans from the United Kingdom.
Wow, and they were fans of the Honeycomb.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I mean it was a 2-day huge show for the United Kingdom, and a lot of old acts were there also that were also honored, you know.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Now, someone told me something else. I want to find out if it's true. Since, you never know if things are true or not, but someone said that actually you were part of the Raylettes, the Ray Charles backup singers.
Oh, golly, I helped Ray out I was with him for about all of 2 months.
Really?
Yeah.
That was in the late 60s?
Yeah, because I had just gotten out of school, and, you know, it was during the summer. That was the only reason why I was able to go, because it was in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise my mother and dad would never have let me go. And Joe Adams contacted my mom and dad and said, you know, we'll take good care of her, you know, make sure she's, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, so they consented to let me go for the summer. And I didn't like it. I ended up going, only being gone 2 months. I came home.
Hmm.
I said, I had figured I'd go back to college because that wasn't the way I wanted to go.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, it was kind of, they were still doing, well, no, Ray was good. He wasn't doing really like a Chitlin circuit. But it just wasn't what I wanted to do at the time. So I came home and left, and they filled the spot with a girl named Alexander Brown.
Hmm.
And,
now,
go ahead.
Yeah, no, I wanted to know a little bit about Shelley and Carolyn. Are they still around, both of them?
Still alive, well, and kicking and looking really great. Carolyn is back and forth in, where is she, in Provo? Provo, Utah, I think it is. And then she comes back home because her parents, she is definitely a Californian like I am. She was born here, and so was I. So her parents still live here, and she comes back and forth to take care of them. She stays here more often than not. Shelley is married to Verdeen White of Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, wow.
And they've been married for, oh, God, 100 years, seems like. But she's doing really well. She's done well for a long time. And she still sings with me actively, and we still talk, and, you know, they're doing really great.
That's kind of nice. Now, so do all three of you ever get together and perform anymore?
We still do, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. Carolyn, not as much, because she's, you know, she's the oldest, but that doesn't have anything to do with it. She just doesn't kind of want to do it as much. So Shelley and I still sing, and we have two other girls that work with us. So it's really cool.
Hmm. Now, so tell us a little bit about, you know, after Honeycomb broke, the Honeycomb broke and you had one ads. Did life change quite a bit with that huge hit?
Oh yeah, it always does. It just catapults us in another area, you know, in another arena,
right.
As far as where we went, where we just how we thought about everything financially and everywhere. We still were really cool that and nobody really ever changed, you know, as far as we were, because a lot of people come from nothing and go to something. For Shelley and Carolyn and I, we kind of were kind of grounded because we already had gigs and we were already working. Everybody had cars and we were doing well. So the hit just took us to another level singing-wise. God, everything changed, yeah.
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, Holland Dozier Holland left Motown, which was a huge step. They go in with Hot Wax Records, and the first one that was released from the Honeycomb, I think, was something called Why You're Out Looking for Sugar, right?
Yes, correct, yeah.
Yeah, and that was, it was a success, but not a huge hit.
Right. It was top 30, I think it was.
Yeah. But then in April 71, you know, One Ads comes out, and it's huge. In fact, it became the number two song on the charts, and it also produced a great album called Sweet Replies, which I really enjoyed a lot.
Yeah, what charts are you talking about?
I'm talking about the American charts.
No, the American. Are you England? Are you from England?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not from England.
Okay. The Billboard. No, we were number one on the Billboard charts for 3 weeks with One Ad.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at the wrong one. I'm looking at the. Okay, I guess then maybe that was in Britain. It was number two.
Well, it could have been. I know. I have the Billboard. You know how they honor you with a Billboard when you get number one.
Right.
They honor you. Yeah, yeah. I have my plaque.
So you still got that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Another one. We're going to see that on eBay as well?
No, heck no. I don't sell. You know, I'm not like people. I don't, you know, I'm not that broke.
Do you have your own website yet? Do you have an Edna Wright website?
Yes, I do.
Is it EdnaWright.com?
Edna Wright, is it Edna Wright Care, CARE, Yahoo.com. I'm sorry, I just gave you my email.
Yeah, Edna, no, is it EdnaWright.com?
No, it's EdnaWright/Honeycomb. It's www.
Oh, okay. /Honeycomb.com?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Too bad you can't get your own name. Someone else probably took it.
Edna?
The EdnaWright.com, someone probably owns that name. Because otherwise it would make sense to have that as your own website.
Well, I do. That's what I said, EdnaWright/Honeycomb.
Yeah, I know, but that's not the same thing. It would be EdnaWright.com. As long as they can find you, it's all right. What I was going to ask you is if you're selling, like, autographed photos and if people can get CDs and stuff on the site.
Yeah, they can.
That's the good thing.
They can get everything. They can get the pictures. They can get the new CDs that are out.
Yeah.
Autographed pictures, a whole bit. All they have to do is check that out.
That's pretty cool. Now, Sweet Replies was a great. I love that CD. That was, of course, that was an album, not a CD at the time. But
right,
it was
right.
A really good album, and it had a lot of good songs on it. And and you would think, you know, after that song came out, after One Ed's came out, which was so easy to sing. One Ed's young singing. It was a great song that the general wrote,
and your
husband as well. But then the follow up was Stick Up, which had kind of a similar sound to it, and that went even higher on the chart. That was number one as well.
It was,
and it did even better in Britain. It was huge. But it became a B release in Britain. But it was on the B side of a song in Britain, but it still became number one. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
It was still number one on the soul charts and on the pop charts as well.
Wow.
But it's interesting, though, because there were so many other songs out, and that one was huge. Sweet Replies was huge. And by the end of 71, you guys and Laura Lee were keeping Hot Wax going from cooling down there. Both of you guys had hit songs.
Yeah. What did she have?
She had a couple of songs that were on the charts. I don't remember them offhand, but I know that they were charted on the soul charts.
Okay.
And then, of course, after the Stick Up came, another great song from General Johnson and Greg, One Monkey Don't Stop No Show.
That's right.
Which also was a hit.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
And when it was released in Britain, Stick Up was the B-side of that song.
Ah, wow. That's amazing how they do things.
It is.
Europe. when they lease a song, it goes, and then you really don't, they just kind of buy it from you, and you, they put it the way they want to put it.
They do. Mm-hmm. But that's the reason why Stick Up became number one as well, because One Monkey Don't Stop No Show was as well. They both were hits in Britain at the same time.
Right.
Now, then the next album after that was Soulful Tapestry, which kind of played on Carole King's Tapestry, which is out at the time as well. And there was some good stuff in there. That I like that song, The Day I Found Myself.
Yeah.
That was a nice ballad.
Great song. I love it. It really goes good on stage.
And then, of course, you had there was a new version of that song on Soulful Tapestry actually had that song, but it was also on Sweet Replies as well.
Yeah, they did that a lot.
There's a newer version, yeah. They would do that. If it wasn't a huge hit on the first one, they'd bring it back for the second one.
Well, you know, back in the day, you put one song sometimes on three or four different albums. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know what their brain thought was. Holland was probably just trying to cover everything he could to make more money.
I'm sure that's exactly what the thought process was. Same as it is now, Edna. They want to make as much money as they can these labels. That's about it.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, the last album I think that you guys did, or the last one that I got a hold of, which was called Love, Peace, and Soul. That one had a couple great songs on it. One of them was called Sitting on a Time Bomb.
Uh-huh.
That had cool sound effects and everything.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yes,
and
I
It's
do.
Better to Have Loved and Lost. Do you actually do all these songs? When you guys are in concert, do you do any of these kind of songs, or do you just do your huge hits?
Oh, no, we do them.
You do them all?
We do every, not all of them. No, not all of them. I usually always do One Ass. I sometimes do Stick Up if they request it.
Yeah.
I do One Monkey, and I do The Day That I Lost You, and every now and again I'll pull one or two of the old ones out of the hat.
Yeah.
Do that, you know. And it works really good because if people, you're surprised at people that still remember it and still like it, you know, and you just go on. But it makes a well-rounded show because we get a chance to laugh and talk about the stuff we used to do when we were doing them.
Mm.
And it's really good conversation.
Now, around 73 or so, the Honeycomb wasn't doing as well, and groups like 3 Degrees were doing pretty well, and things changed around. But you guys still, all three of you, found lots of work as background singers and doing all kinds of things like that. You did commercials and stuff, too, didn't you?
Well, I've always done commercials since I first got in the record business, when I was in high school.
Yeah.
I did commercials, yeah.
So
my sister had got me in commercials a long time ago.
Yeah.
Long time before I was a Honeycomb. After we hit with the Honeycombs, Carolyn, I think, went back to doing background and stuff in the studios. Myself, I went on the road with Sonny Bono, and I opened his show. I did my sister and I worked with him, Don and Orlando, Tony Orlando and Don.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We did a show like that for a year and a half, and then I started traveling with people in Europe and opening up shows, so I just kept busy. And then I got married, so I was happy.
What was it like to work with Sonny Bono on the road?
It was great.
Yeah.
I've been knowing Sonny. Yeah, I'm a Californian, so I've been knowing those people for years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I met Phil Spector and Sonny Bono and Cher, and we kind of remained friends through the years.
Now, do you ever see Cher anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. I just saw her, last year. And she's been real busy, and I've been real busy. We were both in Las Vegas at the same time working. And so I went over to the MGM this year, and we laughed and with the whole crew and the whole bit, because I was on the road with her back in 90, I think it was, in 91. So we stay in touch.
I assume you haven't seen Phil Spector anytime lately.
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Getting a little bit of trouble there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, people get in trouble.
Yeah.
Bless them.
He got in big trouble, though. I mean, you can get in trouble, and you can get in big trouble.
Yeah.
Now, are you you're still touring? Do you have any new stuff? Is your husband writing new stuff for you, or?
We're working on some things for Europe, as a matter of fact.
Really?
So we'll see. You know.
So now, Hot Wax, I think, isn't in business anymore, and neither is Invictus, right?
No, they kind of fell out. Dumped. I mean, they stopped being productive. That's the reason why. There was no more production in the company because Eddie folded the company.
Yeah.
Edward Holland.
Right.
So it wasn't anything you could do. We could have continued making hits throughout the years, but the company folded, so there it is.
So now, that's one of my big pet peeves anyway, is the consolidation of record companies. There's only a few now that own everything, and it's really difficult. Did you
awful.
Folks... Did you folks buy your catalog? Do you own the catalog now? Can you redo the songs and sell them, or?
You can redo Dirt if you want to.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't. You know, I don't own it. No, Alan Edward owns it.
Yeah.
But we can redo anything we want to do, and we have. So, you know, we've redone things and put our units updated it.
Right. So folks go to your website and buy a CD there. It's one of the updated CDs, I assume.
It depends on what they ask for. I've got the old CDs on there, the original cuts with the Honeycombs, which have lots of songs on it. And then I have the new CDs. I have the Edna Wright records because I record it by myself. Then I have some of the Honeycombs new things on it. And so I've got a variety of it. They just have to go on it and see what they want.
Is Greg still writing songs with General?
No, Greg went on to writing by himself for movies and things.
He's really?
Done really well, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, he moved to California with me, and he started working for movies and, you know, and DMX, he did a thing on DMX. So he just stays busy, period.
Has he given you any gigs doing any of this music for these movies?
If it calls for it, you know, yeah, but he doesn't. Usually people, you know, ask for me. I'm not that hungry as I was when I was younger, so I don't put myself out there for certain things anymore.
Hmm.
And I still do commercials in L.A., and that's what I've been doing for the last couple of days. And my daughter sings now. She and my son are in the business, and they're doing really well. So I don't. If they get called, they do the work. I don't. I sit back and enjoy it.
Now I'm looking at a publicity picture of Honeycomb that was sent to me. I assume it's a new photo. Who are the other two Honeycombs with you?
That's Shelley and Carolyn.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, you guys all looking sensational.
And that's what I meant when I said they still look great.
Well, you all do. It's unbelievable.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
And no makeovers.
Well, I know. I was going to say you guys look like you visited Extreme Makeovers a few times. Wow.
You know, I think we were healthy people. We got into health when we were like the second year of being in the Honeycombs, you know, eating. Shelley got into being a vegetarian and really watching stuff, and then we all jumped on the bandwagon with her. And from that point on, we watched our weight and we watched what we ate and the whole bit for years. And I guess that applied with good genes. We just, you know, we stayed in the public eye. So when you stay in the public eye, you tend to, you know, you tend to hold on to your looks. And plus, you know, we got good genes, you know, got a lot of black in us, so look pretty damn good.
Now, how old is that photo?
That photo is approximately 7 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
So not only can you sing and you speak intelligently, but you look great. What a combination.
Well, now, thank you very much.
In your lifetime, do you have any children?
Yes, I do. That's what I was thinking about. My two children do it. My daughter, Melody, and my son, Joel.
Either one of them musically inclined?
Yeah, my daughter was in Aida on Broadway in 2001, and then she came home after 9/11, and she was asked to do The Lion King in L.A., so she was with The Lion King for a year and a half. And she does a lot of work in L.A. She's got a show to do tonight, as a matter of fact, so she's stayed very busy. My son does tracks for guys, so they write, so they're really, you know, they're writing the, and my son acts. God, I forgot that.
He
did a play a year and a half ago now, and he was in college with it, and he won the Irene Ryan Award, which is the highest honor of a university of colleges that you can get, and it sent him to New York, and he played at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C.
Irene Ryan, isn't that the grandma on Beverly Hillbillies?
Exactly, yeah.
He got Granny's Award.
Exactly, he got the Granny Award.
Wow.
And so his play went all the way, and he, you know, he gets a lot of offers. He does a lot of acting in L.A., so he's, you know, they're busy, and they stay in, you know, he's still in school. He had like a couple of years to go before he finishes college, and so, yeah, they're doing real good.
That's great. You know, it's interesting because I've talked to, you know, thousands of singers, literally, and musicians and writers, and they all hope that their kids will be a prodigy of theirs, but you know, they'll at least share some creative juices. But many don't, and you're lucky you have some kids that are kind of following in your footsteps, but even going in different directions as well. In this, you know.
Yeah, they've kind of taken it and done what they wanted to do, and to be quite honest, I'm really blessed. I'm really blessed because they're just, they're wonderful children. They've just taken what they know, and I put them in special things like special schools and stuff. So, mm-hmm. And that's another one of the reasons why I had like a dry spell where I just stopped, because I stopped to raise them.
Right.
And it was really beneficial because I've always been taught from my dad that what you put in them will come out of them.
That's
you
absolutely
know,
true.
What's in will come out, and so my end results. I mean, they, you know, kids go through what they go through, but I've really been blessed as far as, you know, having them. They've always been in church, so they've been church kids, and, you know, and they sing, always sing in the choirs, but they've taken what we've given them, and they've taken it and built on it, and that's what you want. You know, for my daughter was one of the youngest on Broadway at the time. She was like 20 years old, so, and so she was doing a real milestone work when she went on, when they got her to get on Broadway. So, and Aida was one of the hottest plays, if you know anything about
mm-hmm,
it.
Yeah.
You know, the plays.
Sure.
So she's really, you know, Joel and Melody are really there in there. So I don't know what they're going to do in the future, but right now I'm very proud of them. So
well, the best investment you can make in children is giving them your time and energy and, you know, your knowledge.
That's what I'm talking about. Because,
yep.
You know, going me being on the road and stuff merits me. If you have children, then you've got to put into them. And Greg was doing enough where I stayed home, so,
right.
You know, and I loved it, you know. And the greatest thing of my life now is that if they don't do anything else, they just become good citizens, good people, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly.
That's what's important to me, you know, so, and they're doing that, so I'm really grateful. Really
how old were they when they realized that Mom was a big record star?
Well, probably when they got in junior high or high school. I don't, you know, whatever their ages were at the time, what, 13, 14 years old?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably around that time, because I was still in and out, and people would do interviews. I always did a lot of interviews, even still then, you know, and I would do a gig if it was during the summer where I could have them come, you know, and it would always have to be if they could come on the road or if they could be with me from
sure.
time to time, you
yeah.
know, that kind of thing. And I never took long stints, you know. So, you know, but, you know, they enjoy it. They've enjoyed my life. My son saw me do a show. I did a show a month ago, and they did video on it, and he saw it, and he was falling. He was like, you know, he was so proud. So I said, hey, okay.
Well,
so we do what we do, you know.
Now, is there a new CD going to be coming out anytime soon?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm very hopeful about it. As I said before, we're doing something for the United Kingdom, Greg and I, and that's why I think we're pulling together with Ronnie Dunbar and General and the guy, and Angela Bond, who is one of the other original writers.
Right, and of course, if you do release it in the UK, it'll still be available on your website for folks in the United States to buy, right?
Absolutely. We're hoping that it opens there and opens the door here, mm. you know, for something, a movie or something. Who knows, you know?
You never know.
What you do is you put your best foot out there and, you know, and you hope for the best that it's going to be great. So, you know.
Well,
but
for Americans everywhere, I say thank you very much for some great music. And we look forward to hearing the newest music that you come out with.
Thank you very much. And I hope that if I'm in your city anytime soon, that I'll get a chance to yell at you.
I hope so. If you're coming into Boston at all, I'd love to meet you.
I absolutely will. I'll let you know.
Okay.
Thanks so much for calling me. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.